"Goodness, child," Gertrude Addington would say to the mite in the high chair. "You look as if you were seeing things, and pleasant things at that. I believe you like this beastly fog. Don't you know your father is out there, like as not running on a reef this very minute? And my clean clothes mildewing for want of a bit of proper sun to dry them by?" But then Greta would gurgle so happily and throw wide her arms with such eagerness to grasp and hold this queer gray smoke that Gertrude's irritability would vanish like the fog itself when the sun comes suddenly through. As soon as Greta could walk, Gertrude found that she might as well put her housework aside on foggy days and give herself to minding her child. The first thin wraiths of fog in the high pasture were enough to set her small daughter's eyes sparkling. By the time it hid the big rock at the top of the pasture, Greta would be working her way cautiously to the door, and when it drew close enough to blur their own outbuildings, she would be scampering down the pasture lane as fast as her uncertain little feet could carry her. "I'm at my wit's end, minding the child on foggy days," she said to Old Kill. He had stopped on his way home from the smokehouse to leave a Finn and Hattie, and he smiled down at the bedraggled small girl whom Gertrude had just retrieved from beyond the garden. The old man laughed at her.
"Some are moonstruck, they say, and some are sunstruck," he said. "Maybe this one is fogstruck. Don't worry about her, Gertrude. It's good for a young one to want to know the world she lives in all kinds of weather."
He ran his big hand lightly over her damp curls.
"I can't see that it does this little mess of seaweed any harm to be well wetted down. But you might try mooring her to the apple tree and save yourself the minding of her."
So the small girl came to be moored at the end of the clothesline like an idle dory on every day when the gray wisps of fog came drifting in. Greta was 10 when she began to sense that she was looking for something within the fog. Until then, it had only given her a happy feeling, just as the first snowflakes delighted some of the other girls and boys, or the first fall winds that set the birch leaves blowing. But from the day when she had gone alone to find old Rosie the cow, nothing had been quite the same. The village of Little Valley lay on a narrow neck of land between two great arms of the sea. Like a lazy giant, North Mountain lay sprawled the full length of the peninsula until at the very end it sat up in a startled precipice at the sight of the open sea. Years before, a number of villages had dotted the shore on either side. Now, only a few were left, and those were dwindling in size, as the men despaired of making a living by fishing. At the foot of the mountain, and following the line of its base, ran the highway. Here, the Royal Mail, the grocery truck, the butcher, and the tourist who had lost his way made his daily or weekly or chance trip down the neck to the sea and back again. But there was another road, a road less direct, filled with convenient curves, the Old Post Road. This was the road the first settlers had built in the wilderness. They had come by sea, many of them, and made their little clearings near the shore. Gradually, they had extended their clearings inland, and in time, and with tremendous effort, they had threaded their holdings together on a narrow, uncertain road through the spruce forest. With a new highway, generations later, had come new houses, away from the shore and more sheltered. Only cellar holes remained to mark the earlier homes. This old post road was a joy to Greta. A part of it ran through her father's land. Even though it had fallen so low as to serve as a mere lane to the pastures, there was something grand and romantic about it still. Years of spring freshets had washed away the dirt. The stones were bare that had formed its foundation. To follow it was like walking in the bed of a dry mountain stream. Greta knew every stone, every curve of it for miles, up over the high pastures and then down again toward the sea. This was the road her forefathers had traveled. Surely, she thought, it must lead somewhere worth going. And then there was the day when old Rosie was particularly stubborn. "Greta,"
Greta?
Her mother called her from play. Rosie isn't at the bars with the other cows. Your father's had a hard day getting in the hay. You'd best go and look for her before he does. You'll probably meet her on the way. You'll not need to go far. Greta started willingly enough. She had heard the foghorn blowing at Tollerton, down in the passage, and she knew there was fog on the way.
Want me to go along? One of the boys asked.
You better not, Hazen. I may be late.
She thanked him hastily and hurried away. To be caught in the fog and with the best excuse in the world was something too precious to share.